Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association, joined by our representatives from Amerigroup Iowa. We'll start again how we start all of our other calls with a DHS update. The DHS update from informational letters is that there has not been any informational letters over the last month. So that is good news. We can then work into turning it over to John with Amerigroup, if they have any updates that's occurred within this last month. So, John, I will hand it over to you.
Thanks, Brandon, and good morning, everyone. I'm glad to join you again here on behalf of Amerigroup Iowa. We don't have a lot of updates over the last month, but I will note that there are some preparations both at the IME level and at the managed care organization levels to get prepared for case management to return to a face-to-face environment sometime over what we believe to be the summer or early fall. I think we'll see a formal announcement coming out on that as far as an exact date, but just know that the preparations are beginning for a return to regular face-to-face case management. I'm getting messages that the team does not have additional updates, so I will round it out there and hand it back to you, Brandon.
Sounds good. Thanks, John. So we'll turn it into, or we'll flip into some of our pre-submitted questions. So the first one on the list here is for it's regarding EPSDT claims, the T1000s. This provider is having issues with those claims being denied on the initial submission every time for exceeding authorization. They seem to think that this was a question that's come up before, and just wanted to double check and see if there's any updates from Amerigroup on getting these claims to process properly the first time.
Our ops team did pull claims received since January 1st, 2021 that have been denied for UM1 units exceeding UM authorization. And out of 1,993, we see 23 claims that were denied. So 1.1% several that pay on initial submission. So I think we will need the provider to provide us with specific examples so that we can research that further.
All right. Well, that looks like it based off of that data, it could be an individual type issue that we will pass along the information to you on. So that way we can maybe resolve it that way through the individual provider then.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you.
This next question is, it's one I've actually been getting quite a bit recently from some of our home health members. They've been receiving recoupment letters for services surrounding the XB not homebound issue. Some of them were for that project number 1036258 that I know that we've talked about a few times actually on these last several calls, but I'm pretty sure it came up around December of 20. Whatever happened, I suppose, with that project, and is for some reason I was under the interpretation or the thought that that project was being pulled back. Do you have any updates on that and what providers should be doing with those letters or recoupments?
Hey, this is Julie, and I don't know if Daniel has something to add, but some of them were legitimate. Like, if they really hadn't billed correctly the first time, those would have stayed in the mix. It was if you had done the XB initially, if those had gotten recouped, then you had the ability to submit corrected claims. Is that right, Danielle?
Yes, that's correct. So I believe we only, I think AmeriGroup, it was a time frame that I think it was early of this year. Maybe the cutoff was March in order to rebill. You know what I mean? Some providers have still been coming to me lately, you know what I mean, after the fact, but the initial time is over that we were allowing providers to rebill. And what I've been having conversations with providers that a lot of times they had the word not homebound in the claim, and that is actually incorrect. So you actually have to have whatever the condition codes were in box 80. And 90% of the claims that were recouped were correct. There were some case-by-case basis where claims were flagged for recoupment in error. And with that, providers, unfortunately, the time frame that we were allowing providers from the initial recoupment to rebill has passed. Providers have 365 days from date of service to rebill. If that claim is past that time frame, unfortunately, it's not a clean claim, and there's nothing we can do at this time.
So I guess my thought on that is, if a claim was submitted, say it didn't have the XB on it for whatever reason, or we can't prove that it had the XB on it at this point because it's been 5 years, what would, when that claim is taken back, that is a claim processing piece by AmeriGroup, which would then allow the provider the opportunity to correct the claim because it's been reprocessed again. Is that accurate?
Yes, we gave the providers a time frame, a general, when this whole recoupment came up. We gave all the home health providers a chance to go back and rebuild all those old claims. So that was allotted to rebuild corrected claims.
I think what's the issue for many providers is that, one, this whole process has been constantly changing or receiving incorrect information, and they're just trying to submit these as best as they can. When we transitioned from fee-for-service to managed care, and we were told that the way we bill would not change at all, and then it did, that also created confusion. And now, while trying to comply and put as correct of information as possible, and I wouldn't doubt that even if they did have XB in box 80, it sounds like those are still being recouped. And because they happened 5 years ago, or 4 years ago, or 3 years ago, that it is very difficult for us to prove now that that in fact was on the claim, and we're just having these funds taken back when it's really, it's a code. The care was provided, the care was appropriate, and the person was not homebound. And that's why this is being billed to the Medicaid payer. So the fact that there actually are funds being recouped, I would not say 90% of these providers are not putting XB on their claim, because this has been a huge issue since the transition in 2016. I do not think 90% didn't have that on their claim for these projects. So I don't know how we can get this fixed, but I've heard from several who are having money recouped would be inappropriate because the claims were billed properly. I don't really know what kind of a response I expect from that comment, but if you have one, I would welcome it.
Well, this is Danielle again. I have providers have come to me, and I have the access to look at the electronic submission of the claim. And when I look at the electronic submission of the claim, I can tell the provider if that information is actually there. And, you know what I mean? And there's been a lot of times where that information was not there. And unfortunately, though you're right. So services were rendered, you know what I mean? And, you know what I mean, to these members. But unfortunately, it says in the contract that providers must submit a clean claim. So these claims are being recouped because they were not clean claims.
So I guess my response to that would be, is that how did we not know that they weren't clean until now when this was 3 to 5 years ago? Like, as far as we know, they're clean because they're paid appropriately, they're paid accurately. And now we receive a letter saying, hey, you know what? That XB that you put on your claim, somehow that got dropped off when it was transmitted to us. I don't know how to fight that for them. I don't know if that makes any sense or not.
It does make sense. And, you know, someone could correct me. I think, I lost train of thought. They would not know. I mean, it is an error of, you know, for Amerigroup of, you know what I mean, processing a claim, you know what I mean, incorrectly. So, yes, we did do that. But, like, you know, unfortunately, it's language in the contract that supports the claim, you know, it must be a clean claim. So, you know what I mean, yes, we did pay, but we realized our error, you know what I mean, that the providers did not bill a clean claim.
This is Julie with the Iowa Healthcare Association. So if it was your error, then they shouldn't be paying for that 3 years later. Inappropriate. That is not okay.
I think that's
the other thing is that I actually called the number on one of the collection letters and visited with the person. And because we do have a provider that did do a dispute appropriately, and it was still recouped. And when I visited with that person from Amerigroup, they said, yeah, that happens. We miss those. It gets really busy and we get a lot of faxes. And that was from you folks saying that out loud to me. And that's not appropriate either when they did a proper dispute.
I mean, I understand your, you know, I mean, your concern, but that's, you know, I mean, a department that I don't work with or manage. So, you know, I mean, was that, you know, I mean, a correct response? Unfortunately, no, it's not.
But if that's truly what's happening, that isn't fair to the providers providing care. And it ultimately is going to come back and affect the patients that we both serve, our providers, and that you serve as well.
I think that kind of leads into my next question, actually, Julie, which is about the disputes. So when a provider does submit a dispute, and they should they be receiving some kind of a follow-up after that's been submitted to let them know, hey, we got this for you, we're going to pause this project while we're looking into it? Or how does that process, or should that process flow? I guess also knowing what Julia just mentioned about there's times where multiple faxes are coming in and it's missed where the dispute isn't put into the system or taken into consideration for a provider.
I mean, I'm not sure, you know, I mean, someone else can jump in. I'm not sure how that department, you know, I mean, communicates to providers on a regular basis. I know a provider did reach out to me and they did receive a fax back from cost containment saying they received their dispute. The claim, one of the claims that they disputed was, you know, I mean, incorrect. They will not, you know what I mean, be recouping that money. But then they also did list some additional claims that on that, you know, I mean, on the response back that were still going to be recouped. And when I pulled up, you know, those claims to look, they were billed incorrectly. But as a regular basis, like I said, I don't work in that department. I don't manage that department. So I don't know how they communicate with providers on these topics.
This is Julia. They do not, you're not going to get a response of hey, I got your appeal. I'm looking at it. From my understanding, you'll just get the outcome of the appeal. So that might be where, you know, if you had submitted something and you've heard nothing, it's because it hasn't been worked yet, is my understanding.
And I think in this case, they didn't even get the outcome before the money was taken back. They have the faxes that went for the appeal, nothing, not even an outcome before it was taken back from other claims.
And again, without looking at specifics, but typically when that happens, it's timing. Like if the dispute wasn't filed, immediately or soon enough before the adjustment would go forth. That's usually what we see in those situations.
Hey, Brandon, this is Leilani with Good Sam. I just kind of want to go back to that topic that we were discussing before about recouping claims that were years old and the comment that Danielle made about because of the wording in their contract, they're allowed to do that. But I don't understand how Amerigroup can't understand that just saying that alone is extremely wrong. How can you not provide a provider time to dispute that or appeal that when we have to follow a timely filing guideline where we have to submit our claims in a specific amount of time. And then you come back years later and say that, oh, you filed something wrong, but we're not going to give you the ability to correct that. Like there's definitely something wrong with that statement and something that I feel Amerigroup needs to reevaluate. You definitely should be giving providers the opportunity to dispute something or correct something, especially if you guys didn't even realize it was a mistake until years after. So if you're going to expect us to be held to timely filing guidelines and adjust our claims and submit our claims timely, then you need to be reviewing claims on your end in a timely manner and allowing us to correct something that you feel is wrong.
Thanks, Leilani.
I don't think we're necessarily saying that you cannot dispute it, but you know, like I always tell providers, when they get that letter from cost containment, you have to initially reach out to them via, you know what I mean, the instructions on the letter to dispute it, to stop it, but you have to go to that department and, you know what I mean, and make arrangements with that department.
I understand what you're saying, Danielle, but we've come across several claims that have been recouped that were years old and have been told that they're not going to be paid because they're years old and it's past timely filing. So I just feel like it's something that you guys need to evaluate. If you're going to recoup years later, then you still need to provide the provider timelines to correct whatever it is you're saying is incorrect. Regardless of what department it's in, you can't uphold something to timely filing if you're recouping it after that timely filing period and not allowing the provider to do anything about it because of the wording in your contract, much less.
I think this is Brandon. As far as the whole denial or payment of claims improperly or whatever, and the recoupment letters that go out and the cost containment unit, the whole process, I suppose, there seems to be some kind of a disconnect where even if we are getting a letter, there are instances where we would dispute those claims and then still have funds recouped, even if we are within our allotted time frame or not given a time frame at all. I there's just something going on, not sure what it is or how to even articulate it, where even if we are following the proper process to get those fixed, there are times where we are still having those funds recouped when so essentially taking away all of our abilities to appeal and dispute any thing that we feel were paid properly the first time. And I don't know what to do or what to tell you, I guess, on that at this exact moment. But there's something broken about that system that is not allowing us to be able to make sure that we're paid properly. Because like I said earlier, services are furnished and they're appropriate. And because of something that got left off of a claim or Amerigroup is showing got left off of a claim that the provider isn't for whatever reason from 3 to 5 years ago, it's being recouped, and we can't stop it. And that just doesn't seem fair. So I'll leave it at that right now, because I don't know that we're going to actually solve this, but we need to have some additional discussion on how that should flow to ensure that we're doing this all timely. So I'm going to leave it at that at this moment. That actually, I think the discussions that we've had have kind of all surrounded the questions that I've had pre-submitted into the call here. I'll have to look through the chat, because I know that there's been several things coming in, but I'm not sure if there's actual questions in there that have not been discussed. So excuse me while I pause to check those out quick. One question I know is regarding co-insurance, saying that they had a resident who was skilled for a period of time and they're not able to get their claims to electronically cross over from Medicare to Amerigroup. They do not have the ability through the ability portal to forward these claims to Amerigroup. We need the zero remittance. How do I go about getting those? The question is, so how do we go about getting our co-insurance remits if they're not electronically transmitting to Amerigroup? Is there, you have any feedback on that? Anyone from Amerigroup?
This is Julie. I was trying to read that again because I thought it was too different. Is the issue that you need a zero remit, or is the issue you can't get the EOB over to us, or both?
I think it sounds like both. They need the zero remit, and so they're having a hard time getting it to cross over to get any kind of remit, which they think will end up being zero.
I know we've had that problem before, and I know providers have reached out to get that corrected, to get that zero remit through their representative. But I don't have the details, so it's not really helpful. I know we've been able to do that through a reprocessing escalation, I believe, to get those zero remits.
Okay. I think this one would maybe be a question for Donna. It's for the home health prior auths. They're having some inconsistencies depending on who the UM nurse is. Some want the MD, NP, or PA, NPI on the requesting line. And then some UM nurses want their home health agency NPA on the requesting line. Can you maybe clarify for this group whose information should be on the requesting line of the prior authorization, whether it should be the home health agency or if it should be the MD, NP, PA?
I'm actually going to let Angela Dillon respond to that one because I think she's had some communication. So,
yeah. So that new request form that came out, I'm going to try and see if I can share a snippet in the box. I don't know if it'll let me know. On that first page, it says there's a little box you can check if the requesting provider is the same. If you mark that box, then all we need is the home care agency for both of those. We don't need the doctors then. But what we've seen happen is then on the second page, that supplemental page, make sure you're just putting in the home care agency's address in both those spots. Because sometimes people will put the home care agency as one and then they'll put the doctor address in another. But on the first page, they wrote same as requesting provider. So if you're just going to mark it that it's both the home care agency, just make sure both pages match and just leave it as home care agency. We don't have to have the doctor then, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm flipping.
If you have somebody say otherwise to you, if you could send myself and or Donna a note, depending on if it's a waiver member or not, or just send it to both of us so we can look into who's maybe asking that of you, because that would be incorrect.
Yep, and I actually have a team meeting later on this afternoon, so I'll just readdress it with my team this afternoon as well.
Okay.
And Cynthia, who submitted the question, if you have any further information you want to send me through email or whatever that I can pass along to these ladies, I would definitely do that for you. All right, I'm flipping through the chat still. I guess one question that I have, you know, after reading through some of these chats and, obviously based on some of the discussion that we had early on about the not homebound XB information, should there be a, some kind of indication to the provider if funds are going to be recouped? Because it sounds like there are some who maybe didn't even get a letter and then just started all of a sudden having money's taken back. Is that, should that happen? I want to say no, but
no.
I want to ask.
No, I'm pretty sure that there is always the initial letter sent out, and I believe there's multiple follow-up letters. So they, you know what I mean? I have not, you know what I mean, ever had that happen where a letter was not sent out.
So if a provider maybe didn't receive a letter for whatever reason, whether it's an address deal or one wasn't sent out or something like that, but then did have funds recouped, who would be the person that they should talk to fix that problem or maybe address that?
I mean, would they have, I have to reach out to their representatives to make sure that the address we have on file is correct? And if so, then maybe you just have to have an internal conversation, because sometimes letters come in and maybe they just get sorted and get to the wrong person in those agencies. But they should just make sure that we do have the correct addresses listed on file for them.
And then I know that when some providers call to try to figure out the problem on those letters, they'll talk to whoever that individual is, and then they'll say to reach out to your provider services representative, and then that person maybe isn't able to help either. So the provider's kind of stuck in like a limbo of where they need to go to get this resolved if they feel it's inaccurate. Who should be the person that they reach out to if they need to correct an issue on that letter or that recoupment notice that they received?
So are they talking about the address or the letter itself?
I would say I'm talking about like if they don't think that these funds should be recouped from them and they're wanting to discuss or dispute it with somebody, who should they reach out to discuss the
on cost containment? On those letters, there's always a fax number of, you know what I mean? And sometimes I've seen phone numbers, but you have to reach out to that department, cost containment, who sends out the letter.
And then are there instances, like I'm pretty sure that the cost containment unit, I don't know if those are employees of Amerigroup or if that's like a subcontractor, but it sounds like they're shoving the puck back to Amerigroup when we do reach out to them. Is that appropriate or not?
No. When a claim, and you know, as I explained just to provide, when a claim is flagged or touched, you know what I mean, or even taken back by cost containment, no one but that department can adjust that claim. You know what I mean? I can put in projects till I'm blue in the face. Once that claim or claims were flagged by that department, no one can release it or reverse it unless it's cost containment. So I cannot assist. So if money is taken back by that unit, I can't, you know what I mean? I cannot submit a project to have it reversed.
Okay.
So hey, Brandon, it's Julie again.
Go ahead.
So is this particular project number still open or is this closed? Because I thought I had understood that that project was pulled and there would not be any take backs on our last month call.
It was the 1036258, I think was the number that we're talking about.
Correct. That's the correct number. I think that's the first question we need to answer because we understood the project was pulled. Is that accurate?
Julie, I'm not sure about that. Do you know any more?
I was thinking too, I'd have to go back and look. Because I thought there's like three different buckets of, you know, some recoupment was going to go forward because it was appropriate because the XB was not on the claim. The ones that were stopped were when the provider did bill as directed.
Can you update Brandon on those particular buckets and what is pulled and halted at this point?
Yeah. I will get that information.
And who would be the appropriate person for the association to reach out to in regards to the cost containment unit? I think there needs to be, we need to seek what that process is when these faxes are going in, because if they don't receive anything that it's been received, and the next thing they know it's being pulled back, I think we're missing a step in the middle there. So who would be the appropriate person for that conversation?
I'll take it back and talk with our operations department, and we will work with, we can kind of maybe draft something or get together with cost containment on appropriate messaging. Is that what you're looking for, is kind of what the process is? And
yeah, I think what the process is supposed to be, and if that particular step is missing and a provider has no way to know that it was received other than they're on their end, they have a fax that shows it was sent appropriately, you know, what it made its way through. I think the providers are missing a step in there that, yes, that it was received so that they have a peace of mind that what they've done is in the correct hands, because that step in the middle isn't there and they're not even receiving the outcomes letter before the money's recouped. So that might even be a second step that's missing. I'm not sure.
Okay. I think we have, I'll double check. I know we have some, you know, like, kind of resource materials too, but we'll get that firmed up and kind of step through the process as it's supposed to be, and what to do if you don't feel it's gone as it should.
That would be helpful, because yeah. I think that would really help folks understand where they're at in the process of the moving wheels, because there's a lot of moving parts, I think.
Yes, agreed, there is.
Thank you both. Another question I saw in the chat, is Amerigroup still working towards the Amerigroup DSNP product being available in all Iowa counties by 7/1? I know there was the AmeriVantage plan coming out and it was kind of county by county. I thought this might be a John question.
A two-part answer to or response to the question. The first is the ability of members in the base 21 counties that we've started the DSNP product in 1/1 of 21 now have the ability to access Unity Point at a point in time later this summer. So that's within the context of the current product available in 21 counties. Our agreement with the provider will allow us to move to a DSNP product offering with network adequacy in 91% of the counties that will have to go through a CMS review and then marketing for a launch date of 1/1/22.
All right. Thank you. This next question is on EVV visits for home health that are denying for needing a Medicare EOB. They're wondering how to resolve those claims denials. Because obviously the claim is coming through from CareBridge in this case, and the provider wouldn't be able to put any information on there.
I mean, that's kind of a misunderstanding though. I mean, the claim comes through CareBridge, but it's processed in Amerigroup. So if you receive an OHI denial that's inappropriate, you would appeal that like you would any other claim.
All right. Seeing a couple other comments or questions on co-insurance.
Brandon?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, this is Elise from Carroll Area Nursing. I just have a quick question about the projects where they're coming back on money. So if we're not all on the same side here, is there a way we can pause this? And, you know, it just went so fast. I don't think it's right. Some of us have money that really shouldn't be taken back. Amerigroup isn't quite on the same page. So with all these high people in Amerigroup on this call, can't we pause the recoupments until everyone knows that, hey, this really should be taken back and this shouldn't?
I mean, we did that before, you know what I mean? When the project came out, I'm assuming you're talking about the home health XB thing. We did that several months ago where, you know, we reviewed the scope of the project, realized the magnitude and all of the caveats, et cetera. And that's why it was broken out into what are appropriate recoupments, what are not appropriate recoupments, and those that are able to submit corrected claims. And that's
right, but we have even contacted Bridget with cost containment, and she said, she looked at our claims and said, no, this money should not be taken back. I don't know why it is. So if that's the case, when cost containment told us that, why can't it be stopped? Why does it have to keep going?
I mean, like Danielle said, you know, it's a different department. This is Julie again, sorry. And I will, I've been talking with operations during the call as well. So we will, take this conversation back internally after the call and get back with Brandon.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thanks, Elise. And then thanks, Julie. Sorry, still flipping through. It seems like a lot of these are surrounding the either denials for EOB or the co-insurance questions. A question on find out the provider relations representative. I don't know if that link was placed in the chat at all, but I can put it in there if it hasn't been.
It hasn't been yet, Brandon, if you want to throw it in.
Okay.
Brandon?
Yeah. Hey, Jen.
Hey. Hey, I just want to make a comment. We don't always get the letter that we're going to get a recoupment, because what had happened to me is I had went and did a second level dispute already, and I didn't realize that they had already recouped the money. And so when I logged into Ability, so when I had called the dispute team, which is, I think I typed in the number, there is a number that you can call to check if your dispute is where it stands. When I had called them, they had checked and they said they forgot to mail me the letter, and they ended up faxing to me that day, and the letter was a month and a half late that they're recouping the money. So by the time I got that letter, they had already recouped the money, and I had sent my second level dispute. So it was too late. They said, they apologized. They said, oh, I'm sorry, we had already recouped the money. But then they put my dispute on pending, but they said it was too late. And then at that point, that's when they told me I should contact my provider relations so they can assist me on how to correct things. But then my provider relations said they can't do anything about it, that I have to call the cost containment unit again. So that's why I feel like I'm stuck. I don't know what to do at this point. I mean, I can type in the number here so everybody can see what the number that they can call. So after they file a dispute, they can call it like 5 days later and they can see where you stand. But you have to constantly call that number, or else sometimes they forget to send the letter.
Thanks, Jen. I think, again, this is Julie with the association. There is a lot of room for improvement here. So we'll wait for Amerigroup to reach back out to Brandon and I on how the process should work. Look at what, if there's missing links and where the breakdown is, and we may need a working group on this.
I will say that if you did have funds recouped and you feel like it was an error, or you maybe didn't receive notice, or some, either any or all of the above, send me or Julie an email and we'll try to accumulate who's all affected by this, and we can see, have some evidence or some facts, I guess some shared facts on the impact.
Okay, yeah, I could do that, because I mean it's something that can be corrected. They told me to just do. I can do a correction, but I just kind of stuck at this point on what to do. So
yeah, if y'all could get that information to us, that would be helpful, and we will compile that and see how big an issue this is.
Okay, thank you.
And it looks like somebody asked about who runs the cost containment unit. They're not in Iowa. They're down south, are they not? Somebody from Amerigroup? Alabama, maybe?
It might be Virginia Beach. I'm not sure, to be honest. Yeah,
you might be right there. It's one of those.
It's Virginia Beach. Yeah, it's Virginia Beach.
This question is, when will the PSO error, this service is not covered under a member's benefit plan, be fixed? They say that this usually occurs if a member's date of service is not the first of the month. For example, their date of service started on like the 15th of the month.
I thought it should have been, it doesn't matter. If that happens, you should be able to just call and dispute it that it was a mid-month member change. And if that doesn't work, the PSO, the rep, can help facilitate that. But I hate to say it's a common thing, but it's easily fixed, easily remedied. And if you can't get it remedied yourself, we can help remedy that one.
There's a question on EVV here. And this is, I think, regarding assisted living providers. We do expect some information or an informational letter coming out soon on this. I don't have anything new today, but we have had some positive conversations with the department after and before their conversation with CMS. So I would probably hold tight until that guidance comes out for our AL RCF providers. Or if you want to reach out to me individually, you can shoot me an email or call the office and I can have a discussion with you. Like Jen put that number in there. All right, I'm to the bottom of the chat. I don't necessarily see anything more in my email. John, you had mentioned at the beginning of the call on EPSDT that it was really only about 1% of claims that have been receiving denials on initial submission. Who should I send that person or that provider to at Amerigroup? They say that they have sent this stuff to their provider rep, but haven't received a response.
Sorry, Brandon, what was the issue?
It was that EPSDT T1000 claim.
If you haven't received a response from your rep, you can send it to me.
All right. Thanks, Julie.
Yeah.
All right. Seeing no other questions or comments in the chat, I want to thank everyone for being on the call today. Look forward to a response from Amerigroup regarding the cost containment unit and that process and how we can maybe work to improve that. Otherwise, thanks again to our reps, and everyone have a good rest of the week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.